You are now entering this.
This is Tony the Forgotten.
And this is Justin the Forgetful.
I have forgotten the Tony the Forgotten.
Why you became British. I still don't know why you became British or Batman. I just the voice that just jumped in my head.
New character, British man.
British Batman. Bratman.
Or it could be German, Bratman.
Brat. Who like a brat?
Yeah. Hey, this is Justin and T-Dog with Technology Rocks. Weekend recap. It's very creepy when wearing headphones and someone is doing creepy voice. It just kind of brings a whole new soul and level to the creepy voice, I think. I don't know what it sounds like for our home listeners, but when you're listening to it on headphones, it's actually quite creepy. So, with that being said.
You like it.
All right, T-Dog, what are you doing this weekend? So, and since it's the weekend recap, what are we doing this weekend?
Well, got to get my car ready to be inspected on Monday. I got to go by the bank on Monday. Sunday, I'm thinking about going to possibly check out the new Ghostbusters.
I really want to see that. Like, I think it, I've heard, that's just even more gross.
You're welcome.
I've heard really, really good things about it. I heard that they kind of went away from the Force Awakens thing, and, you know, I never realized that was a Star Wars reference, but people that hated Force Awakens, there's reasons why they hated it, and that's why I was kind of leery of seeing it, but I've heard that it's very true to Afterlife. If you liked Afterlife, then you'll probably like this one. So,
I honestly have not been able to get through the entire movie. So
of Afterlife,
yeah,
it is boring. It is a kind of an origin story thing, I think, and I think that's where it lost a lot of the audience. Where if you're not a extreme Ghostbusters fan, then you may not be able to keep up with it. So I've kind of felt the same way about Dune. Actually, I have thoughts on Dune. To me, Dune is such a cinema thing that it kind of makes my brain go nuts because there's so much artistic stuff behind it.
Yeah, I think it's more of an art film. You know, it's for somebody that's like deep into the sci-fi world. You know, and if you're not like super sci-fi nerd, you're probably not gonna like Dune, to
right.
be honest.
Yeah, no, and that's, I liked the first one. It took me a few watches, but Blade Runner did too. You know, even the original Blade Runner did, but the newest Blade Runner took me several watches to kind of get through the original story and all that. So I did watch Roadhouse today.
I have to go on your thoughts on this one because I had no desire to even see the
all
first
right.
one.
So, if you enjoy seeing Conor McGregor's butt, then...
Yep, not the movie for me.
Then go for it because he's naked from the backside a lot during the movie. I had no reason as to why he felt the need to be naked from the back through most of the movie. And not even, so what is funny is it wasn't even in a sexual way. It was just, he was just strolls through naked a lot in the movie. And I was just like, okay, this is weird. Okay. So the good thing about it is he's not in most of the movie. He's only in like the last 20 to 30 minutes of it, which was enough for me. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a great job. I didn't really like the first Roadhouse enough to be like, well, this is not close to the original. And so I don't really weigh in from the original Roadhouse. It's a interesting, I'm sitting at home doing nothing type of movie. I wouldn't form a date night, or nor would I have gone to the movie theater to see it. Had I gone to the movie theater and actually paid to see it, then I probably would have been disappointed. So it's just, the fighting is awesome, of course. And as you would expect, I mean, it's Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, if he can't act out fighting, I mean, being a professional
fighter. That's
more fighter,
of a Logan Paul thing.
Well, that's a whole nother story.
Right. No, I thought it was a lot of, it's a different type of cinematography, and I could see where the director was going with it. And it was an original type of fighting that you're not used to seeing, very much more like a video game than a cinema, which is maybe why they did it that way.
Mortal Kombat.
Actually, I liked the Mortal Kombat remake. I thought that one was actually really good. So, but anyway, I can definitely see why it wasn't a movie theater release, for sure. It did not surprise me that it wasn't a full release or cinema release with that. So, but I did see it. It was, again, if you want to see Conor McGregor's butt, then go for it. But I felt like there was a lot of unnecessary butt shots in the movie for whatever reason they decided to do that. I thought that was just kind of weird. Also, being a Conor McGregor fan, having followed his career, it was very weird to see him be so built, I guess, because he's always been this lanky, scrappy Irish fighter. You know, he's never been this I'm a big Hulk type of guy. And what's weird is he's not a very tall guy to begin with. Jake Gyllenhaal is taller than he is, but in the movie it looks like Connor's bigger than he is. So it's just,
it's all camera angles.
Yeah, it was kind of like the Batman Bane thing where Tom Hardy's, you know, 5'7" standing on a box, and then Christian Bale is like 6'2", you know, but Bane is supposed to has always towered over Batman in every way. But they did a good job in that movie, so there was a lot of that, and that was weird to me. Acting wise, here's the thing. Conor is a showman. He's a showman. He's in show business. You know, that's what he does. You know, if you ever watched his stage presence or when he's talking to a different fighter, that's what made the audience kind of follow him to begin with, you know, because he was just such a brash person. This is more cornball. You know, what they really should have done is they should have just said, okay, here's the scene, and go. What would you do? What would you say? That would have been better. But when you script somebody like that, it was a lot like the all-female Ghostbusters, where it was just a forced comedy thing.
That was such a horrible film.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch it. I couldn't finish it. I couldn't really even get into it, you know. But to me, it was...
There were just scenes that were just in that particular Ghostbusters that were just not needed.
Right. Well, to me, it was the Conor McGregor scenes were just such forced dialogue that they literally should. This is a human being that just is made to talk crap to other human beings, and that's what he does for a living. You should have just let him do what he does for a living, you know, just let him do what he does. And I think I would have enjoyed it more. But the fact that it was his lines were all forced. And he's not an actor. To be fair, he's not an actor. So you can't really judge him harshly on it because he's not an actor. The fighting scenes were totally believable, which if he couldn't pull that off, I would have been concerned. But it just, yeah. So I would say 1 out of 10, I'd give it a 7 up until Conor McGregor comes out. Then it goes down to probably a solid 4. Just not a fan of male back end nudity.
A fan of male frontal nudity, are you?
No, not a fan of male nudity at all.
Hey, just checking. You know.
However, if your significant other is a fan of that, then maybe it's a good date night movie. I don't know. So we'll just see. But again, I can see why it was a limited release and it wasn't
later on. I don't know. It depends on your dynamic.
It's just weird, man. It was just weird. I'm trying to think back when I saw The Rock in a movie for the first time, if it was weird. That was like The Mummy. But again, in The Mummy Returns, he had no dialogue, you know?
Well, what was weird is, like, really, the first time you saw The Rock in the Mummy series,
it was so bad.
It was computer animation, and it was very horrible.
Yeah, no, it was just so bad, and it was CGI stretched as far as it could go, and then he didn't have any dialogue. So I think that's a lot of how I viewed The Rock in this. Connor in this thing, except when they gave him dialogue, it was forced. It just wasn't a natural thing that Connor would have said. Yeah. So
it wasn't like The Rock in Moana, which was perfect.
Right. So I could see the female appeal to the movie. You know, Jake Gyllenhaal practically has a shirt off the whole movie. In fact, he looks better than Connor McGregor as far as muscle tone and everything, which is also equally weird. So,
since we're talking about nudity, I might see that movie, Poor Little Things, because. That, from what I hear, Emma Stone has some great
and
scenes.
Will pass. Yeah. So, yeah. No. So I don't know. Again, it's something that I looked forward to out of curiosity, but now that I've watched it, it reminded me. I'll put it in the Fast and the Furious 10 category. They should pay people to actually watch the movie, but it wasn't. He did a better job than Jason Momoa did, and Jason Momoa has had more. He's an actual actor, so that's the interesting thing. So I give it a 4, a solid 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. And the fight scenes were good, though, so if you're into violent fight scenes, then that's the other strange part is I think I expected more violence to be in it. You know, I think I expected it to be, they hyped the fight scenes up so much. I think I expected more, but in when it was over, I was like, oh, this is it. That was the movie, you know? So it was just kind of interesting. And I put it in the remake reboot category. Should it have been done? However, one of the things I am excited about though, T-Dog, is
what's that?
Beetlejuice.
Oh, I'm totally looking forward to that. Even though, like, I thought when they put him back into the costume and all, they wouldn't have to do that much makeup. It didn't look as cool as he did before, but still is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, I was completely blown away.
And I'm a big fan of Jenna Ortega's.
I was completely blown away by Beetlejuice. The trailer, I thought Michael Keaton, they didn't really show him doing a whole lot, but you could tell they needed a little bit less makeup than they did in the original. But I'm excited. I'm excited. You know what I'm excited for? I'm actually excited that Tim Burton is back in the game. You know, he's been kind of dormant for a little while, right? I mean,
he was kind of
Sweeney Todd. Wasn't that his actual last movie that he did?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. No. So yeah, he's been dormant for a little bit. So. I thought that was interesting to kind of see that he's back in action. There's been rumor that Johnny Depp is going to appear. I don't know if that's actually going to be a thing or not, though. So we'll just see. And when's that released? Is that that's this year, right? Beetlejuice?
Yes, that's later on in the fall.
Okay, so I think Mission Impossible got delayed again. Beetlejuice is coming out toward the fall, which makes sense, you know?
No, I think Dark Shadows was Tim Burton's last.
Okay, which was still several years ago. I mean, that was
2012.
Yeah, so long time ago.
He's only got 19 films.
Yeah, no, and most of them have had Johnny Depp in them. A lot of them have had Johnny Depp in them. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Yeah. So that trailer did look cool. Did you see that trailer that I sent you earlier, though? It was the the Penguin series. So the Batman with...
See, and it's kind of weird that they're going to go into a whole series of just him because they kind of already did that with Gotham.
Well, no, but this ties into the Batman movie. So that's what this series is about. This is using Colin Farrell, because so Colin Farrell played Penguin in the last Batman that was released.
I like the guy that played him.
Look
in
him
Gotham.
Up. Yeah, well, I did too. Yeah, no, I thought he did a great job in Gotham. So the problem with Gotham is they couldn't get right. They could only get rights to so many characters, and it just kind of really started screwing with the story. And that was the issue with Gotham. But no, I think he did a good job in Gotham. This version of the Penguin is a little bit different. This one is more, he's a less geeky guy. This one, Gotham, he's more of a mobster. You know, he's kind of more of a Al Capone type of individual in this particular series. So they're actually going to make a whole series behind it that's going to be on HBO Max. I don't know if it's going to be on any of the other stuff or not, though. So we'll have to see. But it's going to tie into the Batman movie, the last Batman movie with the Twilight guy.
So actually,
I keep wanting to call him Edward, but I know his name's not Edward, but he played Edward in Twilight.
Right. So I was actually wrong on the
Robert
biography.
Pattinson.
Dumbo was actually Tim Burton's last.
Oh, that's right. That was the live action Dumbo that wasn't accepted very well.
Yeah. And then before that, there was Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Also an awesome movie. Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland 2010.
So Alice in Wonderland also didn't think it was bad. It just didn't do well. I think there was too big of a 3D push, you know, with that one, but Alice in Wonderland
his weird
movies.
Weird world, just like with Mars Attacks and you know, where it was just like his weird take on things. And you know, with that right there, it's like, hey, well, you know, you either get his weird quirkiness, you know, same as with the Batman series and all, or you don't. You know, he's very, like, comic book-like in his way of doing things, but also, like, very just weird.
No, I'll give you that.
I mean, his first film was Frankenweenie, which if you've ever watched the original of that, that was a very strange film.
So I did see an interesting interview with Danny DeVito. There was that thing that happened at the Oscars where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito were on stage, and then Michael Keaton was
giving
Michael
Keaton, like, I don't know if he was having that look on purpose.
No, it was.
Or if he really wasn't, like, enjoying what they were saying.
No, he was acting like Batman. That was his version of him acting like Batman is what it was. It was a fun. It was, the whole thing was scripted, and yeah, but so Danny DeVito
scripted like the whole
Will Smith thing.
It was exactly
maybe this thing will go viral because we said Will Smith, who knows. But no, so there was an interview with Danny DeVito shortly after that, and he said, hey, would you ever come back as Penguin? He said, absolutely, I would love to come back as Penguin. He loved the character. He said, but I would only come back on one condition. He said, the only way I would come back is if Tim Burton was involved. You know, he said, I would never come back under a different director or a different screenwriter. I would only come back. So he thought that they had kind of did Tim Burton wrong in that whole thing.
Well, the way that Tim Burton did that series of Batmans was very true to the original way that it was done with, like, Cesar Romero and all in the TV show and Adam West and all. It was keeping to that same thing where it was, like, very, like, you know, it wasn't meant to be taken all serious.
Well, so Batman has always been a gritty story to begin with, you know.
But Tim Burton did take his versions into more of the darker underworld,
sure,
kind of,
which is where
it.
Batman was always supposed to be anyway, you know. Well, when Batman was first released, it was a campy Superman like story, you know. It was
but all comic books were like
not
the same then. I mean, even look at Spider-Man back then.
What DC was known for is DC actually took their comic books in a darker, grittier territory, and that was more uncomfortable
with
I suppose
comic books, like, Marvel is always like the fantasy world.
Right.
And DC, as I've gotten older, as I've started to like DC more because they're more realistic.
Right. No, I would. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Yeah. So they're making a Penguin series based on the Batman movie, the latest Batman movie with I just went blank on his name. Robert Pattinson and what's her name? Kravitz. Zoe Kravitz was Catwoman in that movie. So, and then he wasn't in the movie a whole lot because the focus of the movie was the Riddler. But Colin Farrell, which I had to go back and actually look and rewatch the movie just to see Colin Farrell again, because that whoever his makeup artist was in that movie, he's unrecognizable in that movie. And so I was like, dang, did he really gain that much weight? No, there's just that much makeup on him because they made him look like the Penguin. And if you look at him in Colin Farrell in real life, he's just a little guy, you know, that looks like a, you know, normal actor that he's always looked like. But no, they did some heavy makeup on him. So now he's going to have his own DC series, which nice. Will be interesting. I don't know. Here's the interesting part. I don't know if they're going to bring in the Joker character into that series, because I know at the end of that movie, they touched on that, the Joker scene. It was kind of more of a stay after the credit scene thing.
Yeah.
You know, where he kind of, you know, he's talking to the guy that plays the Riddler. So yeah. And there's been mixed review about him, about the Joker scene, because he felt like it was too Heath Ledger-y. It wasn't his own take on the Joker, but you know, I don't know. I think on the Joker character, I still think Jared Leto got robbed. I think, you know, we didn't see enough of him to be able, that movie was so butchered, both of them, Suicide Squad and Justice League and all the others. Those movies were so butchered that you just didn't get a good feel of what he was trying to do with the character. And apparently there's hours and hours and hours of footage where they had filmed it, and they could have made a whole different movie out of the darn thing. But yeah, so that's interesting movie news. So, you know, going into that, Ghostbusters 2, I agree. I kind of want to see that. That's on my must see. Dune 2. I don't know. I just don't know if I want to pay to go to sleep somewhere. Nothing against Dune 2. Clay's going to kill me on that one anyway. But
well, we'll get our chance at Beetlejuice in September.
Beetlejuice looks good. Deadpool Wolverine looks amazing. I am so excited. I think Deadpool Wolverine comes out in September, if I remember right. Is going to be an early September release. So, you know, we'll see. I know we had talked about, you know, in our Disney discussions, I haven't said the word Disney in a while, in our Disney discussions, that Marvel, you know, Bob Iger said they're scaling back on the Marvel movies for a while, and they're going to focus on, hey, should we actually make a movie about this instead of, oh, we got to get something out on Disney Plus. So that's actually, to me, that's the best way to approach that series as well. I think Mission Impossible is delayed again. I think Dead Reckoning isn't going to come out. We were expecting it to come out this year, but I think it's actually getting pushed to 2025 now. But just who knows what Tom Cruise is going to jump off of or flip off of, or, you know, how he's going to break himself this time around. So, but anyway, Housekeeping, Tony, Comic Palooza, 24th, 25th, 26th.
Yep.
Booth 1932. So just think Pearl Harbor. Just don't think of Tony about Pearl Harbor, but just that's just the booth that he's at.
But yeah, that's actually part of my Sunday also, is working on some new artwork for that. I've got some big canvases at home that I want to
get started working on
and all. So
any idea what you're going to draw on those, or you're up to on them?
I'm going to keep that stuff a surprise. But also did want to mention that I do commissions. I do a limited number because that's a long show, and it requires me doing a lot of stuff during the day. So
can you actually finish a drawing during that show? You're not coloring them or anything, right? You're just
I have done full drawings from start to finish at those shows. Wow. And done multiple in a day. It's hard. It's a lot of work on me. But if you contact me now, I can actually start on the commissions now and have them ready for you to pick up at the show.
So is there any movement on the, what the heck are you guys, paint and sip or sip and paint or?
I haven't actually like reached out on that one because, I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those where I've got to figure it all out.
Well, you've got to align it with your schedule and her schedule and the event schedule around, apparently. I don't know. I don't foresee that because typically those festivals don't last all into the evening side, but I think your event would be going on at the same time as
between
that
3
event.
And 5, and that's...
I'll tell you what, when those events are going on in the Woodlands, I won't touch the HEB park. I mean...
But that's what I'm saying.
That thing is a madhouse.
If I did that event the same weekend as the Wine and Art Festival, it wouldn't work out because, one, getting there would be a nightmare.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, trying to get people there would be just too hard. It's not that... You know, and in order for me to do a show like that, I've got to have at least 15 to 30 people there for right. it to even, you know, I have to have that many people confirmed before I can even actually commit to the show.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
If I don't have at least 15 people sign up for it and prepay for the, for
50?
It. 15.
Oh, I was like 50. How in the heck are you going to?
No, 15.
Yeah, oh, I was like. Wow. Okay.
30 would be the max people that I could get in that particular venue. And honestly, 30 people would be.
That'd be pretty cramped, too. Yeah. No, I've been in that venue when it's had a lot, and it was, it got pretty crazy pretty fast when you got that place packed. But, well, plus you got to keep up with all the painting stuff and the, on that front.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I'd have to be able to get around to each person, you know, because. If I have too many people at it, I'm not going to be able to give any individual attention to everybody.
Right.
And if I can't give a little bit of individual attention to everybody, then I don't think it's a fair thing.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And then we have been asked about Wine and Vinyl. I'm just going to go into it for the third time, I think, fourth time we've been talking about it. So here's the thing. Wine and Vinyl was a passion project for Tony and I, and it was kind of never intended on being a never-ending thing on that front. But, you know, it turned out to be a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It needed to be a little marketed just a little bit better than what we had been doing, and most of it, a lot of the planning, even though Tony is a incredible DJ, and then I'm just an idiot on a microphone for the most part that likes to push buttons, including Tony's button. with that being said, maybe we should make a video podcast because that was a good look. You know, it's one of those things where if we can't do it right, then we need to wait. You know, we need to wait until the equipment is where it needs to be in order to do it. And right now we're waiting to hear back on, you know, if we buy new equipment, it's going to be several thousand dollars, which we don't have at the moment, you know, to invest in that. And then if, you know, we're waiting to see if we can get some repair stuff done or maybe a software update or whatever. So there's just a couple of TBDs that we're waiting on in regard to that particular event. And also we want to make sure we're doing it justice. You know, the whole point of that event was to bring high-end audio to the masses and to where we're not breaking our backs and moving just thousands of pounds of stuff trying to get it off the truck and get it set up and then driving a carbureted car to Dallas, as I like to call it. You don't know what's going to go wrong anytime you start it. So it would be a lot of fun to do it in a less temperamental environment, I guess, is what I, not environment, but with a less temperamental system, you know, I would say.
Well, and also we just want to plan out where it's more like featured albums, featured artists for the night and all, because honestly, as much as I would love to take whatever random request you might have, you know, it's kind of hard to have just every record known to man without having a few thousands of records, you know, at the event. So I want to gear it more towards like where we actually feature, you know, specific artists and specific albums.
Right. You know, and maybe even mix the artists with the, what I would also love to do is I would love to see an event where DJ Spiral does his thing. Because most, a lot of these events have been very
jukebox
related, to where it's just a playlist, and playlists are really hard to do with vinyl. They just are, because it's one guy doing the flipping, the other guy doing the buttons and the sliders, and it's just, you know, and then it really, as the night progresses, turns into kind of a streaming thing, because it's, nobody's paying attention anyway. So that's what I would say is if we can do it right with the equipment that's a little bit more predictable, then that would be different. And we're working on it. I mean, if we'll make it to the 20th the next month or not, I'm not sure. You know, it's still, there's a lot up in the air with the day-to-day of the video store and stuff that we got to focus on with installations and stuff. And, you know, as fun as it would be, you know, we have also to focus on what's paying the bills. So the, but it's a fun project. It's definitely a fun project. Again, it's definitely a passion project that we want to continue to do if it can be done right. That's kind of where my lay of the land is, you know, bringing high-end audio to the masses, taking DJ equipment, you know, mixing DJ equipment with high-end audio, and does it translate? And with some speaker manufacturers, it doesn't. And some speaker manufacturers, it really does a good job. The main concern with that particular event is just making sure you're not putting the equipment in a position where they can still be equipment after the fact. You know, you don't want to turn it to 11 and blow a set of $12,000 or $15,000 speakers across the room, and then you're like, well, now what?
So, and that's part of the issue there is, like, I'm not gonna lie, by the end of the night, like, DJing, when I DJ, like, actually just, like, get to DJ and not play jukebox, by the end of the night, like, I get louder and louder throughout the night.
Right.
The music gets louder and louder.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm partying with everybody else when, right, I'm DJing and,
well,
all.
Well, sure.
So I turn it up and all that, and usually by the end of the night, I can't even hear my headphones. I'm just DJing off of tracks that I know, and I know are going to mix well, because, right, I can't hear my headphones.
So that would be fun. Anything. So I would be interested in doing one, because we've done the rock theme, we did the 80s theme, we did the 90s. I mean, we put the death nail in the 90s thing, and, you know, I don't think you can. Here's the problem with 90s music, as much as I love that genre, because that's where I cut my teeth in. It was the 90s music, and my career started. And in the you know, late 90s, early 2000s, like most did that were trying to get into the music industry. But it was a very sad year for music. It was just a very sad decade, just because.
But there was a whole part that we never even touched, which was a really fun part that birthed a whole lot of things that people go to now. we totally bypassed
right
the whole rave and dance music scene of that time.
Yeah,
we never even touched on that.
No,
and that's what birthed all Electric Daisy
that's
Carnival.
That's what birthed a lot of children too.
You know, Electric Daisy Carnival. You have
a lot of kids. Congratulations, children!
A ton of electronic music festivals all around the world. That, you know, were started because of the rave scene. There was a bunch of guys that we were like, man, we want to spin records and get loud all night. And, you know, people would break into warehouses. And literally, you know, I've been standing in a warehouse when the back wall lit up with red and blue lights. And I was like, oh, it's time to go home.
That's a cool gel effect. Oh, no, that's cops.
And so, you know, and I've been there when, you know, in warehouses when the cops are telling me to turn the music off. The owner of the warehouse is telling me to keep the music playing. And right. I'm like, who do I follow? The guy that's paying my paycheck or the cops that could take me away in handcuffs?
Yeah, no, that totally makes... Well, and that's the thing is yeah, no, that, so there is territory.
So that's a whole
but can
culture
we
make
stepped
away
that
from.
Work? In that venue, that's the thing. Is it because it's a very rustic venue? People aren't really dancing; they're just kind of sitting there. So, is it?
Well, there's a. I mean, if you want to take it in that direction, people are just sitting there, not bobbing their heads or anything, even when we're playing heavy metal music.
That's true. Well, know? I don't know. I'll say that. No, there's a lot of air guitars and air drums going on it's usually at the back of the room in the front of the room. But again, I think it needs to be I think we need to publicize it and make it an event and not just, we got to make it special. Cause if it's not special, it's a lot of work to put that event on. It's a lot of back work. It's a lot of loading and unloading and hoping you don't damage something. And so there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that stuff that crosses across the board. And you have to make sure that, I just want to make sure we're doing the venue justice too and the event justice. But again, I don't really know where we go from there after volume four, because, you know, volume one was 80s. 80s night to me was the most fun. 90s, again, you don't realize how heavy of a genre and a decade that was until you start listening to 4 hours straight of it, and then you're like, man, this dude's dead, or man, that guy's dead, or man, this dude's gone, and oh, this band's dead, you know. So it kind of becomes this thing that just, you know, it's kind of sad.
I know that Shelly has been saying that she's had a lot of people asking for us to do the 2000s, and I mean, the 2000s, that's 24 years worth of music at this point.
That's true. There's a lot of cool stuff in the 2000s. I mean,
yeah,
that was,
and also what I've learned over the years is there's a lot of music out there that I can play that I don't necessarily like or even want to play, but it's not about what I like or want to play. You know, I mean, back when I first started DJing, the song Mbop came out, and I had to have that for a show. Didn't want to buy that, but... You know, I couldn't just go download it. I had to buy the CD, and I had to have it for a party, so I played it.
So the interesting part about the 2000s is it gave birth to a lot of bands. You know, if you think about it, Limp Bizkit, you had Breaking Benjamin, you had Nickelback was 2000s. You
Panic at the Disco.
Yellow Card, Panic of the Disco.
Cage the Elephant.
Coldplay was 2000s. You know, a lot of good bands came out in the 2000s. So I could see that working. I mean, I could see it working. It's just... Do the vinyl part just gets expensive on that front? You know, it just takes a lot of money. We don't have a vinyl store that's really kind of. Maybe we should check out ZT Record and see if, you know, they'll.
Well, maybe revisit with volume. Gone by there and they really didn't seem.
Well, it's
to
not
care
that
anything
there, it,
about what we were talking
that's
about.
That's a different. Well, it's a mall store. You know, it's a mall store. It just, you know, again, they're just trying to make donuts like everybody else. I mean, if somebody came in and said, "Hey, can I borrow a pair of Focals for this event or this house party I'm going to throw?" I mean, that's pretty much what we're doing to them, except, you know, in masses. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, it's not forever and ever, amen, over. We need to have some pretty deep, open discussion about what we're doing. Again, I want to see DJ Spiral. I've never seen DJ Spiral. You know, I've seen DJ Spiral push buttons and try to keep up with, you know, requests, but I've never actually seen what you do. You know, you've seen what I do, you know, I've never seen what, you know, what they mean and what the genre. And to me, that should be an event, you know, that should be an event. Hey, we're just going to have a DJ that's spinning and you're going to sit there and like it. I don't know. But, I don't know. Maybe we have a different type of night where it's more of a, maybe you have a dancing thing or dance floor thing or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's something to explore with Shelly. I don't know. We'll just have to get her opinion and weigh in on it. So we'll just see. I know she's actively asked about it. I know people that have my number from the event text me about it quite a bit. So I know there's general interest about it. So on there, and again, we've got to make the equipment less Dr. Frankenstein temperamental and try to get it to behave itself. I think before Volume 4, Tony and I completely rebuilt his turntables, opened them up, and did all the things and put them back in. But then I think we've actually discovered that it's not really a turntable event. It's not really a turntable thing. It's actually a mixer board or software between the mixer and the software. So maybe that means we explore different software or something. I don't know. We'll have to play with it. Again, we want it to be right. We don't want it to do it and it to be half-assed and, you know, something that we're not into. I mean, the jukebox thing is fun, but anybody can do that and call themselves a DJ, you know, and I think that's where your frustration
point
is.
I'm
going to
tell you right now, being a jukebox, that's not DJing.
That's a wedding singer.
I can sit there and I can make a playlist and hit play and walk out and come back 3 hours later and say, okay, I'm here to pick up my equipment, because being a jukebox is not a DJ, and if somebody's jukeboxing and calling themselves a DJ, F them. Because that's not DJing.
Oh, that's what... Yeah, no, and that's... I think that's why I stopped playing at live venues altogether, is because I was doing... People didn't want to hear original. They wanted to hear cover tunes, and they wanted to hear it note-for-note cover tunes or kind of like that cover tune. And, you know, I've never been that type of musician. I've always been more of a... I mean, you've seen me sit over there and pump out two or three songs that could be on the radio, you
right,
know?
But then you also got to think, it's just like the guy says in the movie Mike and Dave Need Wedding Date. Nobody wants to hear somebody singing Beyonce. They want to hear Beyonce.
True.
You know, so that's where the DJ steps in and says, all right, I'll play that Beyonce song that you want to hear, but I'm going to mix it into something else also.
Although there's some local artists that would give some of those guys a run for their money. You know, if you take somebody like Piggott or, you know, Barnett or O'Donnell or any of those guys that are out there, there's Lowly Bellows. There's a bunch of local acts that do just really amazing job at doing the covers where they can do it. I mean, heck, Sean will play a freaking phone book. You know, that dude played, you put a phone, just, hey, pick this song, and then he'll note for note play that song. And then you've got closet guys like Russ who can freaking just rip and wail on a guitar but act like he can't play. Those are the ones that always frustrate the heck out of me. It's like, oh yeah, I dabble a little bit, and it's like Eddie Van Halen, you know, sitting there playing it. But But shout out to Russ. He's actually one of our vendors for several of the lines we sell. Whether he's listening or not, that's the fun part. We'll see. It's kind of a sneak attack surprise. So let's talk YouTube. So Tony and I actually officially launched Defonio Videos. Already always had a YouTube channel, but we actually launched our Technology Rocks YouTube channel. Got a few views on that. And so the people out there are like, hey, you guys should do YouTube. Well, we did it. Where are you? All 500 of you, you know, or almost 500 of you. Where are you? You know, it's there. You just got to look it up under Define Audio Video. If you go to YouTube and type in Define Audio Video, then we're there. If you subscribe, then you'll get hit with new videos. I will say this, T-Bone, videos are exhausting. I mean, wow, that the editing part, which is kind of the fun part, the editing part is the fun.
Yeah, but the only thing about that is in our current state, you get one or the other of us. You don't get both of us in the video because
right.
One of us has to hold the camera while yeah. The other person is being filmed.
Is doing the thing, yeah. And so, talking to the analytics people, we're actually doing this backwards. So most of the people out there are filming what we're actually doing right now. And then, you know, they extract audio, make a podcast out of it, which is what we should be doing. You know, maybe we'll get into that better as the budget allows it for said equipment for Science Project. We shall see what we shall see when we see it. And but that was fun little project. If you haven't watched it yet, it's actually a revisit of the Hey Guys topic about AirPlay. But we did it the Technology Rocks way. Didn't give you a Batman origin story about who created AirPlay or how they created AirPlay or why it was created. It was just, we just jump right the freak into the topic and talk about AirPlay and show you and do a real-time video and show you how it works with the commentary by the sarcastic commentator. Still have to figure out which one that is or what's his name. I call him Tony the Forgotten, and then he calls it Justin the Forgetful. But if you watch the video, you will see said commentator make sarcastic remarks throughout the whole video, which is also fun. So YouTube launch, that's a big moment for us as we're creeping into 500. I think we're at 491 as I looked this morning. So as we creep into 500, and but keep the comments coming, you know, keep it all coming. We want to know what you're interested in, because otherwise we're sitting here talking to each other and recording it, which is also weird. But how do you feel about this format, T? It feels weird. I feel very claustrophobic at the moment.
Well, you're the one with the headphones on. I'm still doing it the same way we've always done it.
Oh, okay. Well, you can wear the headphones next time if you want.
That wouldn't be weird for me, because I'm used to DJing, listening to two separate things while I'm listening to what's going out to the crowd at the same time.
So I will tell you this, it sounds better. It sounds better through this format than it normally does. And I don't think we're going to have to do near as much mixing on the back end.
Not as much massaging.
Please don't do that.
Oh, why? You don't like the sultry sound of my voice?
No, I don't think anybody likes the sultry sound of your voice. That is your weekend recap, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we covered Wine and Vinyl, covered where it's going, where it's not going, where we want to see it go, what Tony's doing this weekend, tripped in some movie news, and if you want to see...
We also talked about Comet Palooza and a way of getting your custom artwork and getting on that list before the show even starts, so that you make sure that you get your stuff and
have it
waiting for you at the show.
And if you want to see Conor McGregor's butt, then see Roadhouse.
I'm good.
Oh, that's a weekend podcast. You're just stuck with two of us this time. No Mr. Grain again. Mr. Grain has failed to make an appearance at this podcast. That's actually how they say it is podcast, as you and I just heard on someone else's podcast. It's how they say it. They don't say pod. They say podcast. Yeah, so... But I think that's a wrap, unless you got anything else for this weekend recap.
Oh, nope, wow. I think we've hit everything so far.
That actually was a wrap. That's interesting. All right, so I am Justin, and... Oh, sorry.
I'm Tony.
And that's Tony. And that's your Technology Rocks weekend recap. We're hoping you're enjoying this beautiful weekend. Please, 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 please do what?
It's way too many pleases. We just would really love for you to all subscribe, like, and listen to all the upcoming shows, because we're going to make technology less boring and more interesting for all of you.
That's right, because technology rocks. So please like or subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, Apple Podcast. I got it right this time. That's that little purple logo on your Apple iPhone with the circles and the triangle at the top. Apple Podcast and now YouTube. So subscribe on YouTube. So
I'm looking into some other formats also for the video stuff. I think that
I'd like to look in some live radio stuff.
Well, we might also look into moving into Twitch.
Okay.
Because that's a good place to do podcasting. Cool. And video casting.
Cool.
So I mean, I know like some of the radio stations, like the John Clay Wolf Show, they do Twitch and also that may be a venue that you may see us headed down soon.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just going to leave that up to you. I don't know. The only thing I know about Twitch is it has something to do with video games. So,
well, a lot of people do video games, but also people, there's artists that do art tutorials and art videos on there. There's people that do cooking stuff. They do all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
But it's mostly known for video games. Yes, you're correct.
So the reason why we need you to like or subscribe is there is a team of individuals that watches these subscriptions and they read how many people download it. We're not asking to downloading and subscribing is two completely separate things. Downloading is that you're actually taking that show and downloading it, physically downloading it to your particular device. Now, you would only want to do that as if you were getting on an airplane that doesn't.
You're going to be somewhere where you don't have good Wi-Fi service.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to listen to it without having cut out and break up.
Right. Or something like if you're from an airplane, you don't have Wi-Fi, then that would be where downloading would come into play. But subscribing and downloading isn't the same thing.
Glad you finally caught that. You're welcome.
It's frowned upon. Yeah. So... I don't even know. I don't even want to know what you said. I didn't even hear what you said.
On an airplane, you have flyby instead of Wi-Fi.
Oh, I got it. Better than a drive-by. So,
or a stick in the eye.
True. Or any. I got nothing. I ran out of stuff to say on that one. But what subscribing does is it does two things. It actually gives you. It lets you know when new stuff comes out. And it actually helps us monetize through that vendor, and that's why we're really starting to focus on YouTube and all that stuff, because that's pretty much what we were supposed to be focusing on to begin with. So
now the likes, though, one great thing about
move a little what closer, T-Bone, for us
is when you like a specific podcast, that helps us know what subject matter you actually like and what we may need to
100%
go into more detail on, or maybe into other avenues of that same type of thing.
Yeah, so far the hottest categories we've had are Dis versus Stream was the hottest one, and then cord cutting, that was number two. Wi-Fi was also a large topic. Not as much so on the home theater side of it, because I think home theater kind of snaps it into people that are just interested in home theater, not necessarily in technology as a whole.
Well, it seemed like people really wanted that, but then once we did home theater, people didn't really show any interest.
No, that's the listener. That one is not as popular as we thought.
That's actually one of our lowest ones.
Right, yeah. No, I think that's the lowest, even lower than the Hey Guys ones, you know. And strangely enough, the AirPlay was a big one, which was really weird.
So that's where your comments on our different podcasts 100%. Will also help. Also, is if you listen to a podcast, you know, and you say, hey, you know, maybe you could have gone here. Hey, I listened to what you said, but I have some questions. And you issue those questions to us, then we can do a follow-up video or maybe do like a part two to something in order where we can actually hit the points and all that maybe we should have, but we didn't, you know, because you as a listener helped us with finding those different points that will help you.
Yes, no, 100%. Yeah, no, I can't say it any better. So that's where we jump on the like or subscribe thing. Subscribing more than liking also helps, because if they see a podcast that's getting liked a lot, then they start pushing that toward the top of the search list, which grabs more viewers. Also,
tell your friends about us.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is, you know, family and friends that are into tech. If you've got every family has some weird geek or technology person, tell them about it. You know, have them like or subscribe on it. Maybe they'll enjoy it. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't like it at all, but they'll tell us why. So anyway, with that being said, that is a cast, I believe, for the second time, right?
I think that's actually a third time.
All right, that's your weekend recap with Technology Rocks. You guys have a great weekend. Get out and see some beautiful weather and
listen to more podcasts.
Go watch Dune.
Go watch Dune.
Why are we watching Dune?
Because you said it's boring and I disagree.
That's a cast. We'll see y'all in a bit.